Grace to you and peace from him who was and is to come.
Amen.
Our word for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and for your gathering here. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. And we pray that in this meditation, you yourself open our hearts and our minds, that we are able to understand what you want to teach us this morning. Prepare us for our life, for our everyday walk, and fill our hearts with your joy, with your peace, and your grace. Amen. My year to shine. This is the motto, the theme of this day in harvest. My year to shine. Once again, my year to shine. Imagine that dawn is setting in and all lights in Kumba are gone. The power is cut off. You in your house, you have no candles, you have no kerosene, so it's going to be dark. And then I come to your house and say, look what I have here. I brought you a lantern. And then you would at first be glad, and then you take a second look and you see, well, Reverend, this lantern is strange. There's no light in it. And Reverend, you even forgot to bring kerosene. So this lamp is no use for us. We are going to sit in the dark. But it's my year to shine. And the first important lesson we draw from here, when you hear, let your light shine before your men, in our lantern we have to have the light of God. And it's nothing what we have to produce on ourselves. Because we are here gathered as Christians, as born-again people that have been adopted to God's family. Christ himself is dwelling in our hearts. He gave us his Holy Spirit. Our lantern is not like this here, without flame, without oil. Our lantern is filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the light of God in our lives. And this is the first reason we can give thanks to God. That's a harvest that endures forever. No matter if there's drought, no matter if there's flooding, no matter if there's sun, rain, hail or whatever, his light is in me, his light is in you. My year to shine, that's for sure. We are going to shine. When I took this lantern out of the storage, Mirabelle, who helps me in the house and cooks, she looked at it and she asked, Reverend, shall I clean it for you? And of course, this is probably the question most of us would ask the first time. Because there's a lot of dust, there are specks. Oh, when we put the light into it, it probably will get shadowed and darkened by all this rubbish on the glass. Yes, this is the second lesson we have to learn. Let your light shine before the men. My year to shine means that we have to clean ourselves. We have heard in the lessons about the commandments, we have heard about that it's good to walk in the ways of the Lord. And the original text for today that's written there on the board would have been from 1 Timothy 1, the verses 5 to 8. The goal of this command is love. which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about and or what they are so confidently affirmed. We know that the law is good, and if a man uses it properly. If we look around in Kumba, we see a lot of religions and ideologies, and all these know about the commandments. Most of the religions agree, you shall honor God, you shall be good to your neighbor. Most of the religions and ideologies would agree, yes, hold up the families, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie. We find that in a lot of places. But one thing we only find in Christ, that's in here. That's the very light in us. That's the possibility that we not only know about these commandments, but that we can fulfill these commandments. That we not only can know them by heart, but that we can practice them. And that when we fall, when we do not live according to that, that we have measures of grace, that we can repent, and that we can cleanse again. That we can be like this lantern, that we somebody comes and brushes it till the glass is bright again, till there is no speck and no dust on it. And if you continue on, we see this word, let your light shine before men, that they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This very word is taken from the Sermon of the Mount, a long preaching of Jesus. And he goes on to preach and to teach, to say, well, fulfill the law, but not like the Pharisees, who outwardly appear to be good, but inwardly they are filled with hatred and with all bad stuff. He continues on to say, don't commit murder, but be sure, murder is not only if you go out on the street, take out your cutlass and chop off the head. Murder is already when you think in your heart, I hate this man or I hate this woman. Murder is already when I say in quiet, oh, this person is an idiot. It's dumb. All this shows that our heart is filled with hatred. And so Jesus continues to go on to show, to fulfill the commandments, it starts in our heart. And to be able to fill the Ten Commandments, we must be able to fill our heart with the thing that comes from God. We must be filled with His Holy Spirit. We must be filled with His love. And if we come here and pray and in silence, the Holy Spirit shows you, well, here, this part of your life, it's not according to my standards. You have left your family at home, and there you had quarrels. You went away not with peace, but with hate. Then Jesus goes on, leave your offering here, go back home, and first reconcile. If you think, oh, I've borrowed some stuff from my neighbor, and actually I've stolen it because I want to keep it, and you're sitting here in the service, Jesus says, no, first go home, give the stolen stuff back, and then come back and take the Holy Supper. And so Jesus continues to say, yes, we must get our lamp bright and clean, but not of our own power, not because I can be a holy man, but because God wants to make me holy. Imagine you give this dirty lantern to one of your children, and they played in the mud, and now you tell them, please clean that lantern. And they come with their muddy fingers and start to rub it. will it get clean again? It will only get dirtier. And that's with us humans. All religions talk about we must get ourselves clean. But we humans, we all have dirty hands and dirty hearts. And if we start to clean our lantern, the lantern of our life, it will only get worse. It will only get worse. Some people say, oh well, there's a dark spot on the glass. Let's take some white color and paint it white. It looks good. It doesn't look dirty again. But then, if the night comes and you turn on the light, you will see, oh, that white color, it shadows the light inside. You can't see anything. Easily we can think, oh, let's put some color on our lives. Let's put on nice clothes. Let's openly speak nice words to our neighbors or to our families. But inside there's darkness. And this outward paint only shadows the light that should be in us. So this is the second thing we have to behold this morning. Jesus himself died on the cross. His blood covers our sin and takes them away. As we have sung before, God is keeping no records of our sins. With him there is forgiveness. And once his light is in our lives, he will start to clean us and make us purely clean, not muddy again. A colleague of mine related to me a story that had happened in his congregation. A homeless man came. He was also a drunkard. Last week we heard Reverend Chapman talking about drinking a lot. This man was a drunkard. But nevertheless, he came into the congregation and he said to my colleague and to his parish, I'm interested in this Jesus stuff. Can I be here with you? Can I start to worship with you? And they told him, yes, of course. Be warmly welcome. That was not an easy thing to say, because that man, he had the stench of alcohol all over him. His teeth were rotten. He was sinking out of his mouth. And the congregation said, you are welcome to worship here. And then the man said, I was living out on the road. I have no home to go. So the parish said, well, there in our backyard, there is an old hut. You can stay there. Be welcome there. And he started to be there, to attend service, and he continued to drink heavily. But the congregation didn't kick him out, because this man was saying, yes, I know, this alcohol thing, it's not good. It's sin. And I want to get rid of it, but I don't know how. I only can plead in prayer. So the congregation endured this man in love. And at one point, suddenly, there was a knock at the door of my colleague. She opened. There was this drunkard living in the hut. And he said, Reverend, I don't know how, but God helped me to quit drinking. Can you help me to get rid of my bottles? And together they went to his hut, took out all the bottles and threw them away, even if they were still full. They threw them away. And from that point on, this man never drank again. So we see this is the process how God is going to clean us. Not because we are trying and forcing ourselves to live according to his standards, but because he pours out his spirit in our life. And when we worship him and continue to have fellowship and continue to call sin, sin, and truth, he will start to change our hearts. He will start to clean our hearts. And he will enable us to follow his commandments. As we have heard from First Timotheus, love is the key. If you teach your children to do this and not to do that, most of the time they respond to this because out of love. They love you as parents and they start to imitate your ways. Not because you force them to do anything, but because you love them and they love you. Love is the key. In John 6 verse 30, Jesus Christ was asked, what deeds shall we do to do the deeds of God? And the remarkable answer of Jesus was, if you believe in the one God has sent, this is the very deed of God. On our behalf, the main thing is to believe, to cling on the preaching of the cross and the resurrection, to trust in God that He is cleaning us, that He is guiding us. And so He will do the most part in our lives. And we also read in Ephesians 2, where Paul stresses, it's grace. That our lantern gets clean, it's grace. It's not our works, it's mercy and grace. And the good works, the good deeds we are doing, that's not our work anymore, that are the good works that God prepared from eternity for us. We only have just to step in like we're putting on a pair of shoes, and so we can step in the good works of God. My brothers and sisters, that's the way our life is going to shine. I hope your last year has been shining so far, but the coming year even more, it will be your year to shine. Your year to shine. But there is a third lesson we have to learn from this. Our verse said, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. To have the light of God in the lantern of our life, it's not primarily about us. It's that we are in this world like a bright light, and this world is dark. And everybody's craving to see a little light, to get a little hope. And God entrusts in us this light, that we bring hope and life to this. And you are now still only a prayer cell, but I hope soon you will be a full congregation. And I hope this year, this coming year, will be a time of harvest and of thanksgiving, because your congregation is your year to shine in this quarter, to shine in this neighborhood, that people out there will see the kingdom of God is not eat nor drink, but peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. We know God is our Father in heaven, and He will provide for us. He will give us food enough. He will give us a roof above our heads, and He will give us clothes. But even more, He gives us peace. In Germany, a lot of people have a lot of material stuff, but they have no peace. They have no hope. They are sad in all their material goods. But we as Christians, we can have the peace of God, even if there's turmoil around us. We can have joy, not the joy of alcohol, not the joy of this world that ceases after a few hours, but the joy of God that endures forever. And we can have His righteousness. We can learn His ways. He enables us to keep His commandments. And if we ask ourselves, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what will the harvest be, we can say, our God, He is providing for us. And I will seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and He will take care of all these things. God will bless you with a good harvest. good harvest in fruit, and good harvest in the daily work you do. But even more, He will bless you to reap the fruits of the Spirit in your life, that you will be more and more able to keep His commandments. And He will bless you that He will have a harvest in this quarter, that the people in this area will see, yes, here shines the light of God. Here are people of God having the hope of God, the peace of God, and the love of God in their very heart. And I pray that they will come to this place and start to worship themselves, the living and the Almighty God. You're here to shine. Once again, you're here to shine. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you will bless them, that you will make them shiny. Remind them that you already have given them your light in their hearts. That they recognize and always remember your Holy Spirit is within them. The light is there. Thank you that you are going to clean us more and more as long as we walk with you. Thank you that we don't have to feel this cleaning, but that we can cling to you, to your cross, and get cleansed through the power of your blood. I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict us more and more of our sins, and that with your power and your help, we order our steps in your way. And I pray that our light will shine into this world, and that people are drawn to you, to the powerful gospel of your cross and resurrection, and that they will get saved and start to worship and give thanksgiving to you, the living and eternal God. Amen.
Amen.